You know what parenting today is like? It's like building a fire in the rain. Some would say it's impossible. No, no. It just takes diligence. You have to stay with it. And that's what it takes to take these little miracles we call sons and daughters and grow them up the way God would have them, us to grow them up as mothers and dads and those who support and teach and lead them. It's like building a fire in the rain in our culture, isn't it? So how do you do it? That's the question. And we're going to lay down a grid, some principles that won't cover everything, but it'll lay down a grid.
The truth is, godly discipline brings you and your kids closer together. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, How to Discipline, where he shows you how the right kind of discipline will strengthen your kids and your family. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, How to Discipline.
A lot of people who say that we're Christians in our home, but they still live as if they were under the curse. The curse that's talked about in Genesis. Now, we can't do anything about our past, can we? Our inheritance? Our genealogy? By the way, don't ever check your genealogy. But we can do something about the future. About where we are now, where we go from this point in our life as far as our lives and as far as our family is concerned. And we've already looked at Ephesians chapter 5 as to how Paul tells us we are to live in relationship in our family. It's different from what many of us thought. Paul says, be submissive one to another. That's the operative word, submit one to another. Then he says that, wives, submit yourself to the husband. No, we discover the word submit is not in the original form of the Bible. It's not in the original language. It is added. So it says, wives, unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Then it says the husbands are to treat their wives and reverence their wives the way the Lord treats his church. So that's sort of upset a lot of people because it's all a matter of submission. How am I able to submit to Jobeth? How is Jobeth able to submit to me? How are our sons able to submit to their parents? How are we able to submit to them? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't command, Holy Spirit, fill me. We are available as men and women, as young people in Christ, and he fills us with his Spirit. Then, as a husband, I am able to get under my wife, submit to her, and give to her all that is masculine about me and how she needs, how all wives usually need some of that left brain logic that basically men have. And when I do that, what happens? This enables her to become the woman that God has designed her to become. And when a wife, filled with the Spirit, voluntarily gets underneath the authority of her husband, then that wife gives to her husband all that is feminine, all that is of the right brain, and how we need those feminine characteristics, men. And when this happens, this enables the wife to become everything God designed for her to become. This is God's plan. You say, well, where in the world do you get that? It's like the relationship we have as Christians to Christ and the church. How did Jesus become Lord of your life? Did he come over the church and say, okay, men and women, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am Lord over you. Is that how it happened? No. Jesus came all the way down from heaven and put on flesh. Flesh. How low can you get? And he became a servant, humbled himself, was obedient even under death, took all of your stuff and all my stuff on him and died for us. He became under us and surrendered to us. That is how he became Lord. That is how he leads. So therefore, we and our children, we submit to our children. And it's amazing then, our children then begin to submit to us. All of a sudden, you have not a curseful home. What is a curseful home? Everybody wants to be in charge. That's the curse. I want to run my wife. I want to run my kids. They want to run me. You say, well, you know, I'm so meek and mild. Some meek and mild people run things better than those who are bombastic. Have you noticed? Their meek and mildness is a way of sometimes manipulation, and their pouting and their quietness leads them to the top. Others are bombastic and they don't lead. So they're different styles, but that is the curse. I want to be in charge. You want to be in charge of the family. The kids want to be in charge. The kids are better than mom and dad. They pick up all this. They know how to be in charge. They play one against the other. All of this is a curseful family. Look what happens in a spiritful family. Do you know what the family is? The family is a little miniature ecclesia. The family is a domestic church. And when we gather here, we come with a lot of little ecclesias. If you're single, if you're married, whatever your status, you are a little church in your family. That's a church. Somebody says, strong churches build strong families. Wrong. Strong families build strong churches. And we gather for worship. There's all these little ecclesias, your family, my family, we gather together. And when a lot of little ecclesias where mom and dad and children are related to the Holy Spirit and there's a mutual submission and understanding and service to one another, let me tell you something. Something powerful happens when you gather for worship. So we need to learn how to parent in the world in which we live. You know what parenting today is like? It's like building a fire in the rain. You ever tried to build a fire in the rain? I have. It's tough, isn't it? Man, a lot of things. You got to have some shelter. You try to cover it up. You got to have the right kind of wood. And then you might get a fire going. It rains harder. It puts it out. You have to take the coals and work them. Building a fire in the rain is difficult. Some would say it's impossible. Oh, no. It just takes diligence. You have to know what you're doing. You have to stay with it. And that's what it takes to take these little miracles we call sons and daughters and grow them up the way God would have them, us to grow them up as mothers and dads and those who support and teach and lead them. It's like building a fire in the rain in our culture, isn't it? So how do you do it? That's the question. And we're going to lay down a grid, some principles that won't cover everything, but it'll lay down a grid. Two negatives, two positives as to how to parent, how to build a fire in the rain. Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Father, I've got nothing to say except how you speak through me, how you speak through us in life. Give us attentive hearts as your Spirit leads this service through the authority of your word. Let me get out of the way as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. And we can't anticipate all the signs of rebellion. We can't anticipate all the situations we find ourselves with kids and with families. You know, how in the world can we prepare them? How can we build the right stuff in them that God would have us to build in them as parents? You know, handling this situation. And I'm reminded of a story some years back, a man by the name of George Yeager. He took his father and his three sons out in the Atlantic Ocean to fish, and they rented a boat and a motor, and they fished all day long. It was toward the end of the day, and the motor stalled out, and they couldn't restart it. The waves picked up, 6-foot waves, and the boat was being engulfed with water. And they put on their life jackets, each person, three sons and his father and George. And then they saw the boat was sinking. They tied themselves one to another. But the water got higher and rougher. It was growing dark. And George said, I watched my youngest drown first, then my next boy, and my next boy, and then my dad. He said, I stayed tied to my three sons and my father, knowing they were dead, until daylight came and the water threw him back to the shore, and he drugged together his father and his three sons. Now, nobody can be prepared for a situation like that. No father, no family can be prepared. And I assure you that George Yeager, the rest of his life, began to think, you know, what I didn't do, what I should have done, how I should have planned. And we can't plan for all the extremities. But there are some basic things parents, couples can do to sort of put some things down, to put down a grid, some parameters. And I will present to you two negatives and two positives. Two negatives, don't do this. Two positives, do this. And that'll help us in the overwhelming challenge we have in our modern world. And that is to, with our sons and with our daughters, to build a fire in their life, a purpose in their life, Christ in their life, in the middle of a rainstorm. I want you to look, first of all, the first negative, Ephesians chapter number 6. Paul is writing. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke your children to anger. How does that operate? Do not provoke your children to wrath. It means our children are never to be angry with us? No. It means our children are always to be happy? No. But we don't provoke them in such a way that they are overwhelmed with bitterness and it stays in their lives and it's stored up there, and there's a seething kind of anger that comes with our sons and daughters. And this happens when we over-discipline them. It happens when we under-discipline them. I remember my son Ed, he was a sophomore or junior in high school. He had a big test on the Constitution and the bylaws. I asked him through the week, are you studying? Are you sort of getting it? Oh yeah, Dad, I'm on top of it. I'll be ready for the test. The night before the test, I went up to his room. And I got the book and the study questions, and I asked him. And he didn't know the Constitution from Mary Had a Little Lamb. It was unbelievable. I reminded him we'd visited Washington. We'd seen it behind the case. Man, he didn't know anything. And all week long, he was ready for the big test. And I just lost it. And I remember I grabbed him by the hair way too hard. I said, son, we're going to stay here till you know the Constitution, the bylaws, the amendment, and everybody who wrote them backwards and forwards. And we went to bed about 3:45. Next morning, I went up there because I didn't sleep very much that short night. And I apologized. I cried, and he cried. I over-disciplined him. We've even dealt with that again as we're adults. You see, you can provoke your children. He was too old for this kind of corporate punishment. And see, I was not in control. But I was asking him to be in control. Parents, when you're not in control, you can't discipline your children. If you do it, you do it improperly, and you discipline them to a point of anger and a point of wrath. That's what the warning here Paul gives us. Don't over-discipline your kids. It's got to be the right time, the right place, identified with the right person, in the right situation. All of our kids are different. With Ed, it took corporate punishment to get him in line so many, many times. With Ben, you could talk and reason with him. With Cliff, he had such a tender heart, you just look at him, he got it. You see, you have to adapt to all of these things, age appropriate. And so we can over-discipline and we can under-discipline. The best illustration of under-discipline I know of is in the Bible. You have King David. Man, he's on the throne. He's ruling everything. He's in charge. He's king, doing a fabulous job. Geopolitical relations are up. The economy is up. Man, the people respect him. He's honored. He's a poet. He's a man after God's own heart. But what happened to his family? His son, Amnon, was sick. Amnon asked his half-sister Tamar to come and feed him while he was in the bed sick. When everyone left, he took his sister and he raped her. It said in the Bible, David knew about it. He was angry, but he did nothing about it. He knew, but he did nothing. The deadliest thing in a family is a passive father, ladies and gentlemen. The deadliest thing is a passive father. And what happened in that situation? 2 years later, Absalom came and killed his own brother to avenge what he'd done to his sister. And then Absalom was put in exile. Then David brought Absalom back home, and Absalom fell before him, but David wouldn't even see him for 2 years. And Absalom later led a rebellion against David and his own father, because David knew and did nothing. That's under-disciplining. And that leads to wrath. You see the wrath, the bitterness that was in Absalom because of passive dad? So we can over-discipline and under-discipline, and we can miss this clear word of instruction from God's word. Don't provoke your children to anger, to wrath. And then look at the next negative we see. These are the words of Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 17. The same story is told in Matthew, Luke chapter 17. Jesus speaking, he said to the disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, then one would cause one of these little ones to stumble." In other words, don't trip up your kids. Don't provoke them. Don't trip them up. Don't cause them to stumble. You say, well, how do we do that? I read only this week about the situation that Disney has. It seems that a group of New York sophisticates were taking their kids to Disney down in Orlando, and they found a way to beat the long lines. They would hire somebody who was handicapped to lead their children in. They'd go to the head of the line, and one New York society woman boasted, said everybody else stood 2.5 hours to get in. It's a small world, but my kids, led by that handicapped person, they were in 1.5 minutes. They just blitzed Disney, and they were bragging about it. Another man was talking about he did the same thing. He got a doctor to write out a prescription and said his son was HDDD, HDDD. I think all of us are that anyway. And therefore, they put him at the head of the line. See, they broke the system. You say, well, what about that? You see what you're doing? You're tripping up your son and daughter. You're showing them how to take shortcuts by money, by prestige, by beating the system. And therefore, they get to college and they, oh, I can't believe you cheated on that test and you're thrown out of school. Dad, mom, you don't have a leg to stand on. Any more than David had a leg to stand on in dealing with his son who's raped his daughter, because David had already been guilty of sleeping with someone who wasn't his wife. See what I'm saying? We cause our children to stumble. And sometimes they stumble so ingloriously, it breaks your heart. Here's a letter written a few years back by a teenager. Dear folks, thank you for everything, but I'm going to Chicago and try to start some kind of new life. You asked me why I did those things and why I gave you so much trouble. The answer is easy for me to give to you, but I'm wondering if you will understand. Remember when I was 6 or 7 and I used to want you to just listen to me? I remember all the nice things you gave me for Christmas, my birthday. I was really happy with those things about a few days. At the time, I got the things, but the rest of the time during the year, I really didn't want presents. I just wanted all the time for you to listen to me like I was somebody who felt things too, because I remember even when I was young, I felt things, but you said you were too busy. Mom, you're a wonderful cook. You have everything so clean that you tried so much from doing all those things that make you busy. But you know something, Mom? I would have liked crackers and peanut butter just as well if you'd only sat down with me a while during the day and said to me, tell me all about it so maybe I can help you understand. I think all the kids who are doing so many things that grown-ups are tearing their hair out worrying about are really looking for somebody who'll have time to listen a few minutes and who really will treat them as they would a grown-up who might be useful to them and, you know, polite to them. If you folks ever said to me, pardon me, when you interrupted me, I would have dropped dead. If anybody asked you where I am, tell them I've gone looking for somebody with time because I've got a lot of things I want to talk about. Love to all. He signed it, your son. See, our kids, we trip them up. I remember going to a school play some years back, and a little guy in the play had a part, you know, about a minute and a half. He did his thing. And after the play was over, that little guy came storming behind the stage. I happened to see him, and he just ran out there to his daddy. You know, to him, he just played Hamlet on Broadway. You know, he was just thrilled to death. And he ran out there, and he grabbed his daddy, wanted to say, you know, what a good job he'd done. I'm proud of you, son. His dad said, I can't talk to you now. I'm talking to Mr. Smithson.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
James 4:17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If we know how to do something good and don't do it, God says that's sin. It is a sin of omission. Sometimes we can become blind to the needs around us. We have all kinds of opportunities to represent God, but we're not willing to give up the things that give us pleasure or the things that are part of our lifestyle in order to make a difference in the lives of others. Listen, I am my brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. If there's something I can do that is good and I withhold doing it, God will deal with that severely. There's a lot of good every single one of us could be doing. Isn't it time that we, you and I, invite God into our plans, our speech, and our decisions? And to ask Him, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? How would you have me to reach out and do that which is good for others?
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear more proven truth from Dr. Young about what loving discipline really looks like for your kids.